Shmuel Beis, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Yud. So Avshalom is going to Hebron, and his father gave him gracious permission to go. But a little slip of the tongue, Lech Bishalom, he said. So Yud, Vayishlach Avshalom Meraglim, Bechol Shivtei Yisrael Lemor. So Avshalom sent, well, technically we usually use the word to mean spies. And that could be part of the meaning, that he's sort of spying out public opinion to see where things are going. But in this case, it's emissaries, messengers, b'chol shivtei Yisrael lemor, out throughout all of the tribes of Israel, saying, k'sham achem es kol ha-shofar, when you hear the blowing of the shofar, v'amartem molach Avshalom b'chevron, you shall proclaim, Avshalom rules in Hebron. Interesting that he uses Molach, past tense, as if it's a fait accompli, it's a done deal. Instead of Molech or Yimloch, everybody is going to shout out, Avshalom rules in Hebron when the time comes. Good place for a Ben Yehuda to mount a revolution to take over the throne, the hereditary city of Hebron, the special portion given to Kalev. And so Avshalom is spreading the word. The first stages of his revolt. The agents are going to proclaim at the shofar blast that David's son is the new king. They very well may have been the people blowing the shofar to proclaim this. And Avshalom is believing and calculating that by having the declaration go across the country, the nation, all at once, he might not even be challenged when he tries to take the throne over. And it doesn't seem like a coup. It seems like a transfer of power. Avshalom rules in Hebron. It doesn't say Avshalom rules the Jewish people, though. So was he intending to just rule in Hebron and then challenge his father for everything else? Was he taking over by starting with Avshalom? Would David have been willing to power share as kind of a estate trust situation? But Avshalom is going to get some advice from an unlikely source. But meanwhile, Yeralev, as Avshalom, holchu mosayim ish miYerushalayim. With Avshalom went, accompanying Avshalom, were 200 men from Yerushalayim. The 200 men are identified in almost all of the commentaries as being members of the Sanhedrin, members of the most prominent men of Jerusalem, men who did not know what Avshalom was up to when they agreed to accompany him, but unimpeachable sources. 200 men, kiruim, beholchim lesumam. They were invited, and they went innocently. Lesumam, tam, simply not realizing, lo yadu kol davar. They knew nothing whatsoever of what was going on. Now, of course, the presence of 200 prominent Yerushalayimites, including the Sanhedrin, was going to be seen as support for Avshalom's candidacy for the throne. So Avshalom is playing them as he plays everybody else, and they're going to seem like backers of his revolution, of his premature taking over the throne while David is still alive and well. But you know how it goes. You've had the same manager for 30-some-odd years. What have you done for me lately? People are complacent. David HaMelech didn't see any threat coming. After all, this is his eldest remaining son. Avshalom has everything planned out. Yud Beis Vayishlach Avshalom es Achitofel Hagiloni Yoetz David. So here is a masterstroke. Avshalom sent to bring. So es Achitofel sounds like he sent Achitofel, but he sent for Achitofel the Gilonite, the Giloni, who was David's advisor. Meiro Migilo, to bring him from his city, from Gilo Bezavcho. Es Hazavachim, when he was offering his sacrifices. So Achitofel is one of the king's top advisors. The king's top advisor, Achitofel, was certainly aware of the prophecy by Nasan Hanavi that it was going to be Shlomo who was going to be king. And yet, Achitofel goes along lending more tacit support to the candidacy of Avshalom to be the king. So it seems like Avshalom, who has won over the people, who has brought 200 men with him to bolster his claim, and now even has Achitofel it's going to be interpreted that Achitofel supports him as the next king of Klal Yisrael. And he brings him there while he is sacrificing sacrifices. And none of the Mefarshim explicitly make this connection, but think back to when Shaul HaMelech lost the faith of Shmuel. And Shmuel told him, wait for me and then you'll offer sacrifices after 7 days. And Shaul got nervous and Shaul got panicking and the people were looking at their watches a lot and saying, when is this Zoom call going to start? You have your host is waiting for people in the room. And so he sacrificed without the Navi being present. Avshalom does the precise opposite. He waits until Achitofel is there. I mean, he's already getting going, but he makes sure Achitofel is present at the sacrifices. Vayihi hakesher amitz. And the conspiracy thus became powerful. Tremendous phrase. The kesher, the knot that they were tying, became amitz. And we say chazak ve'amatz as a positive, but here it means it was just unbelievably strong. It was iron. Ve'am holeich varav esav shalom. And the number of people who Holech went to Avshalom, Varav, and continued to increase, made for a massive support group. And the number of people with Avshalom continued to rise and rise, even as the king is innocently sitting on his throne in Yerushalayim, not being aware that any of this is happening. So Avshalom has set up broad-based grassroots support for his campaign for president. First, he flattered the people. He deceived them with false promises. He invited 200 members of the high court of the Sanhedrin who accompanied to Hebron without realizing what was going on. And Hebron being the city where David ruled at the beginning before eventually his rule was manifested across the entire nation. So Hebron is symbolic because of David's rule. And then, as the Ma'am Lois calls it, the coup de grace, he wins over Achitofel, one of David's closest advisors. And so he feels now that his rise to the throne is inevitable and that he can't be stopped.